It's time to experience the Synergy Connection Show with your host, Lucy Forsting.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Synergy Connection Show. And I have as a returning guest with me today, Karen Herrick, and we're going to be talking about what life after death teaches us, which I think is a fascinating topic because almost everybody knows that you can't come into this life without leaving it at some point in time. And so that is going to be our topic, is why are we so concerned? Why are we so worried? And maybe if we understood that our lives don't truly end, then it would make it a lot easier to look at this topic. But before we get started, as everybody knows, I believe that you have to keep the physical, the emotional, the spiritual, and the intellectual all in balance. It's like a four-legged stool, and if it's not in balance, it can be annoying as heck because it'll wobble, and your life will do the same. It will wobble on you if you don't have them in balance. And of course, we have to look at the physical first, because if the physical is out of whack, then it's going to be really difficult to get the other parts going the way they should. So there's also a link on my website, synergyconnectionradio.com. There's, I don't know, something like 425 shows, I believe, there now. Under show notes, you can archive all of those shows. There's about 34 pages of them. Karen has been a guest numerous times now because I like bringing the best of the best back on the show and having them share their knowledge with you. So the shows are all located there. Please look for them under show notes. There's also a link to Boomers Forever Young. And Boomers has been, I've been using their products for 8 years now. They're also a sponsor of the show. And anything that you find on their website, which is boomerboost.com, there's a link there. Then you can just use my first name for 15% discount. So it's L-U-C-Y on the discount code box. I have been talking about a particular new product that was invented by Eric Kurtz, K-U-R-T-Z, and that's Myotrol, and it's M-Y-O-T-R-O-L. And for me, Myotrol has made a huge difference in stamina and strength. And this is something that we all need after the age of 50, because we start losing 1% of our muscle mass every single year. So by the time you hit 70, you've lost 20%, 80, you've lost 30%. And that's the reason people fall. So as many of you know, if you do fall and you break a hip, a lot of people never really recover and begin to decline significantly after that. So you want to be sure that you keep your strength. And, you know, wouldn't it be great if you were 100 years old and you still were able to move around without much difficulty at all? Certainly people in the blue zone countries do that. And if you want to understand how to live a long life, look up blue zone countries, Costa Rica. There's a number of them. I have some friends that are actually retiring to Costa Rica because they want that lifestyle. And if you can maintain your health, then the rest of it, you know, is enjoyable because you'll be able to converse. You'll be able to still learn things. You'll have that emotional stability that you're looking for. So please check out Boomers Forever Young and check out Myotrol. There's a interview with the inventor that's on under Myotrol itself, and you can listen to him discuss why he created this product. One other little thing to check out as well is if any of you know people or have people in your life that are really close to you even that have cancer. The inventor of that product is in Canada, and his name is Ken Campbell. And Ken created the barley, which is under two strains. One is heirloom barley, the other one is gladiator barley. But he created that to help people that are going through chemo and radiation. My husband went through both of those. I wish that I could have gotten him on those products, but I didn't know about them at the time. And he began to decline, not even so much from the cancer as from the treatment, because he ended up with, I can't remember the name of the condition now, but your body consumes itself. And so it turns on the very thing that it needs to survive because of the radiation and the chemotherapy. And he went from being a very muscular, strong individual to at his death only weighing 135 pounds. So if you can maintain the treatment and not go through that part of it, I would strongly encourage you to look at both the Gladiator barley and the heirloom barley. It does make a big, big difference in people's abilities to withstand those two harsh treatments because they have to be harsh in order to kill the cancer cells. All righty. So, Karen, welcome back to the show. And what a fun topic. I told you before we started recording that I had found this quote by T.S. Eliot, who he said, "In the end is my beginning." And I thought that was just very intriguing, to think that the end of our life is the beginning of something else. And certainly we have a lot of books that have been written over a number of years now, probably at least 50 years, about death and dying and near-death experiences and what it's like on the other side. And yet people are trying to find proof, quote unquote, like give me solid proof that this exists. And what do you say to them yourself? Because I know that you get asked that question.
Well, I think what life after death has showed us is that we are really a greater human being than we know of, that we have greater talents and different abilities that we didn't even know we had. So if they want to see what I talked about in my January 16th webinar, that's on our last video, our last interview. Which was a few months ago, I think. But today I want to give you a little bit of interest in what happens daily to people because we are this expanded kind of a person. And I think it's really good for us to realize that. So I'm going to tell you a story about my dog, Emma. Telepathy, I'm going to go right into it because telepathy has been proven, ESP. It was proven by Duke University and many other people. So I'm going to read this story to you, and then we'll talk about it. So Emma, my party poodle, we have telepathic situations can never be repeated. Relationships with people and their animals is determined by their histories and by their feelings for each other. Emma felt if she tried hard enough, she could make me understand. I was really worried about a 53-pound dog putting herself directly in front and behind me, which was dangerous. It only happened once, and it was meaningful. Lawrence Lashawn, in 2004, stated about these relationships that Emma and mine should be studied in relation to each other. Both of us had simultaneously assigned meanings to our behavior. ESP is like lightning. Because it's an emotionally laden relationship, and there was a need to communicate. It is a sudden connection between two bodies of their respective electric condition. That's what really important for us to know, is that we really are all electric energy. Okay, we were acting in a rhythm, and our connection created meaning. This happened in leaving the sensory reality of desserts and went into the clairvoyant reality of a message about a dessert. Okay, so now I'm just going to tell you this story. It was Halloween night, and I had decided to stay home when a friend was coming down. We were going to go to the movies and leave the candy out on the porch, but we decided to stay home. Anyway, my Hurricane Sandy house, 20 steps up the front door, these teenage boys came up and they had hoods on. And Emma was barking, and I said, "If you take your hoods down, she'll stop barking." And I handed them all through the open door a bowl of chocolate bars. And Emma put her nose in the bowl. She didn't take one. And then a couple, maybe an hour or so later, I left the bowl out on the porch, as I always do on Halloween night. A friend came over about, a couple hours later. We had a cup of tea and a piece of pie I had just made. And then we had another cup of tea and another piece of pie. And then after she left, I went into my closet to change into my pajamas. And as I walked out of the closet, Emma was sitting in front of the doorway, staring straight at me. Now she's black and white. She's partay means two colors. And I asked her to move, and she did. She looks like a penguin when she sits there. I went into the bathroom to brush my teeth. Upon leaving the bathroom, there she was again, sitting very straight in the doorway. I again asked her to move, and she did. I went into the computer room to retrieve my glasses so I could read in bed. And as I turned around from the desk, she was right in front of me. I almost fell over her. I was frustrated, and I bent down like you would talk to a two-year-old child. I looked straight into her eyes and said, "What is the matter with you? Don't you know you could cause me to fall? I could hurt you and myself. What is your problem?" The thought I then heard around and in my head was, "Everyone got something but me."
Oh my goodness. Oh my gosh.
I could not believe it. And my first thought was, but you're a dog. And then I realized, yes, but a dog who expects things to be fair. So I gave her a treat and she went to bed. Now, I never would have connected because it'd been about 3 to 4 hours since the chocolate bar incident, right? And then, of course, she watched the pie. And so now when people come, I feed her first, and she always gets a treat when we get dessert because I realize she watches everything.
Right. And you
But I,
can't give her a chocolate bar because that would have killed her.
that would have killed her. But I had been reading, the synchronicity. I'd been reading about William James and what he thought about telepathy way before, Duke University. And I just thought it was a wonderful happening. So we're going to have it on my website. There's going to be a special button that you can click and just hear the story if you want to. And that's Karen, eherrick.com. So in this webinar on January 16th, I told them they seemed to be really pleased that I told them about the spirituality of famous people also. So I talked about Harriet Tubman, who was the African American who worked on the railroad, to get the slaves from the South. And she had had owner had thrown this big metal bar at a slave, and she got in the way, and it hit her in the head. So for all of her life, when she was a child, about 10, I think. And for all of her life, she had had these headaches and dizzy spells, and sometimes during the day, she would have to sleep. But I think she also had paranormal abilities because they said that when she took these people, from the south to the north, they would be hiding in a grove, and the sheriff would just be a few trees away, and she would just keep everybody quiet. She had a way of giving babies something so they would sleep and wouldn't cry. I just can't imagine how she did it. And she also worked for the Union forces during the Civil War, and they took a ship down in the Carolinas along this, like a lagoon, with all these slave, buildings. And she was there, and she was sing. She well, they asked her to sing a song, which she did. She sang a slave song, but before that, she called out that the Union would give you an acre of land and a mule, and if you would come and be. And they just came by the hundreds. And I didn't know that story, that the Union Army collected black people to be soldiers that way. So anyway, they were happy. This was a cultural competence also workshop. So we had to talk about, other cultures. And so anyway, she had spiritual gifts and premonitions that came from that accident. And then I talked about Florence Nightingale, who I don't know if anyone knew, but she was in the higher echelons of society in England, right below royalty. And she was expected to get married and have children and bring property into the family, et cetera, et cetera. And in 1837, in February, when she was 16, she recorded her first call from God. And she had three more calls throughout her life, as she called them. Now, her family wanted her to marry, and she refused, telling her mother that God had told her that she didn't have to get married,
Oh,
which
really?
I'm sure was not happy news to mom, right? And she had a suitor who, I think he was around for a couple of years, and he eventually married her younger sister because she was determined she wasn't going to get married. She was always the kind of person in the family that if you were sick, she would come and take care of you. Her father, of course, was wealthy, and these fathers at that time, they really educated their daughters at home, taught them different languages, so these were highly educated people. And he had a friend who had a hospital in London, and Florence was 18 at that time, and people were dying in the beds, of course. And he said, "Why don't you just have Florence come down and let her, do whatever she does, because she loves taking care of people." And of course, she got the hospital up, and people weren't dying anymore because she was using soap and water and doing the things a woman would do. And then, of course, Queen Victoria sent her for the Crimean War, where she took all of the soldiers out of the trenches down below who were being supposedly cared for there in the mud and brought them up high on the hill. And the big thing that Queen Victoria did for her is nurses at that time in the 1830s were taken from the streets of London, so they were prostitutes, and they would teach them supposedly some nursing skills, and they were also nuns, and those were the two people or professions that would take care of you if you were sick in a hospital. And Queen Victoria put Florence in charge of the nuns, which of course the nuns didn't care for, but and so she handled that, struggle for to be the one in charge. And then when she came back from the Crimean War, Queen Victoria offered her an apartment at Windsor Castle, and she didn't want any of that, and she stayed home and that got took a train home. Never told Queen Victoria she was coming home. She didn't want any kind of ceremony or anything like that. And as many women in that time period did, if they didn't get married, they seemed to be sickly. They had to stay in bed. And she did. She's been known to be, she could have been diagnosed bipolar because she was kind of a moody person. But during the Civil War, our generals went over there, people that wanted to know how to handle military hospitals. And we got all the directives from Florence Nightingale.
So she got out of her bed to do that.
Well, no, they went to her bedroom.
Really?
Yeah, they went to her bedroom and took all the notes and did all that. But what she wanted nurses to do would be in service of God, without taking religious vows, and that they would take care of any religious person. Though most people don't know that about how the nursing profession was started,
Had no idea.
by
None.
somebody who had paranormal experiences, right? And they believed her. So I love that story also. And of course, Bill Wilson, of course, he had his spiritual experience where he prayed to God, "If there is a God, please stop my desire to drink." And he felt this light come into the room and that his desire to drink was taken away at that time. And when he told his doctor about it the next day, the doctor said, "Well, I'm a medical person and I don't understand any of that, but you look better today than you've ever looked before. So I would just stay with what happened last night," which of course lasted a few months when he went and he volunteered at different hospitals. And then he was part of the Oxford Group, which was a religious group that studied the early writings of the early Christians, Christ and his followers. And they had these slogans like "live and let live" and all of that kind of thing. And he and his friends, he had some friends that wanted to stop drinking, and they would go to these meetings, and they were going to so they wouldn't drink, but the other people didn't know that. And he loved the slogans they had, but what he didn't like was the Oxford group wanted publicity. So they were always having newspaper reporters coming in, and they wanted articles written about them. And of course, he and his friends wanted to stay anonymous. But that's how he created Alcoholics Anonymous from the Oxford group, which was a religious group.
Is that why he chose the name Anonymous?
Maybe, yeah, maybe, because it was very important to him that people, of course, then in the, when he was coming in the 1930s, you were put in a mental hospital if you were
Right,
alcoholic.
right.
He just happened to have a wife who had money and could always afford this private hospital with the same doctor who said after 24 years, we've been doing this a long time. And you just keep going out and drinking. And if you come back again, I'm going to put you in a mental hospital because that's where you deserve to be. And then he had a friend, Ebby, who was also in and out of, but Ebby was put in mental hospitals because Ebby didn't have a rich wife or wife with money, that she just worked hard. And so Ebby happened to visit him. Well, I love the synchronicity of some of all this. And he had was reading William James' book, The Varieties of Religious Experience. And he said, "Well, you had a religious experience last night," and loaned him James's book. So I think it's step 11 of the 12 steps is what happens if you do have a religious experience, which many people in AA don't get to step 11. So some of them don't know. That's part, of the steps of Alcoholics Anonymous.
Oh, that's true. So in your mind, when T.S. Eliot said what he did as far as in the end is my beginning, what do you think he meant? That when our physical life ends.
Right. Well, what we do is we become spiritual in this physical life. So that's one of the reasons that I am so, before I die, I want to instruct as many people as possible about this American Psychological Association book that says there is life after death, because some organization now that can determine whether you're crazy or not has determined that there is life after death, after it's 150 years of research.
And the fact that in the past they would have said, you're delusional.
Oh, they would have said you're mentally ill and put you on medication.
Right. But
You
I
can't
mean, you could have been
be hearing voices in your office. You
right.
heard a voice.
Right.
But so I want everybody to know you can hear a voice and you're not crazy. That we do then have, they say there's seven different layers up there in the ether, which is where we go. We have two bodies, remember, our physical body and then our spiritual body, I believe leaves from the vagus nerve out the top of your head. And that's the tunnel of the near-death experience because there's no windows in there in your vagus nerve. And then you see the light and gravity does not affect the spiritual body. So your spiritual body is just like the body that where you can watch those people in space.
Let me ask you a quick question here, because this was something else that I read, and I'd never read this before,
Okay.
that at the moment of physical death, that we can be still, I don't want to say in our body, but I would say maybe just above our body for as much as 20 seconds.
Oh, I think we could be there for as much as a couple of days.
Okay. I was wondering, because I think that some, especially if it's a sudden death and not one that is gradual,
Expected.
that the shock, causes maybe that entity at that point, that spirit, to be around, because they're trying to figure it out before they actually move on.
And
Whereas I think somebody who's gradually going into in transition for a number of days, maybe in and out of consciousness, those people are more readily ready to go.
yes, and people that have been, we know that they have cancer and maybe they have a few months to live. So we all know that they're going to die, right? They are have many times have spirits of their loved ones come back, right?
Right,
And they see
waiting for them.
they see them in the corner of the room and they say, you come toward us. we want you to come here now. So they have also maybe seen some people from the other side. And so that would be helpful. But people who are in a shock, as you say, they're just like, where am I?
What happened? Where am
And
I?
no religion says you have well, they say, I don't think they make it clear that you have this body that is not affected by gravity and you're going to go up and you're going to float around. And spiritual energy, I think, is felt circularly in a circle, right? And we happen to think up and down, a linear, right? Because that's our graphs and everything are linear. So you're going to be feeling energy swirling around you. And that's important to know too, that we are on this wave, in this wave-like ether.
Right. And to
Then,
me, it kind of works with the vortexes in the body, anyways, because
yes, that's
our energy goes from the root chakra up through the crown in order to move into those other dimensions that are there, the chakras that are there. So the vortexes swirl in a circular fashion, right?
That's right. Yes. And the energy, like between you and I, it's like an oval right now. So anyway, we have to know about the process, which when you think about nature, and you think about all the different ways that we all have had childbirth, right? And all of our deliveries are different, right? Each child is different. And death is the same way. It's just a natural process that is affected, and the soul, I believe, tells the body when it's time to leave, and so you go up, and you're up there in the ether, and hopefully you know that you're deceased. Now, many times people don't know that because it's supposed to be like a dreamlike state. We all have been dreaming, so we could feel like we're dreaming, and then many times spirits have to be told by mediums or loved ones up there, no, you're dead. You are dead.
You're not
But
going back into that physical body.
as many people have felt when they leave this physical body, which they say is like a sausage casing, they feel so free and wonderful. Well, and I'm still me because I have my conscious, my unconscious, and my mind and the soul, and all of that is in the spiritual body. So just knowing the process of death, which is a clairvoyant process, because there's an average person coming in watching you or I leave on the deathbed would not be able to see us unless they were clairvoyant or they were having a spiritual experience at that moment and they did see clairvoyantly. So that's another thing that can happen to all of us. We can see clairvoyantly on occasion. And a good example of that is anything that will teach you that, like the Ghost Show on CBS, which is on Thursday nights at 8:30. And this woman inherits this bed and breakfast and goes with her husband and says, oh, well, it's an old house and she wants to make a bed and breakfast. And the house is filled with spirits. And the spirits don't like that because they're going to lose their bedrooms. That's And she can't see them, no, and her husband can't see them, but she falls down the stairs and is in a coma for 2 weeks. And in that time, her husband goes down, takes out his retirement money and puts it, decides, okay, we're going to do this. If she lives, we're going to create her dream of a bed and breakfast. And then when she comes back into the house, this is in the first season, so you can watch this on Paramount, which owns CBS. Watch all those seasons for free. Just get the Paramount app, and you'll learn a lot about ghosts from that show. It's just a half-hour comedy, very popular because people are interested
I
in
think,
this.
well, anything that people can't quite understand that they know they're going to experience. I mean, I might not be interested in climbing Mount Everest because I know I'm not going to climb Mount Everest, but I do know I'm going to die, someday. And so, yeah, it's kind of like, okay, let's find out a little bit more about what really does happen.
And some people watching it, if they don't have faith, that they're going to be taken. And I'm told from what I've read and what I've heard is that it's like a pigeon, a homing pigeon knows how to get from Brooklyn to New Jersey. and because I've seen a lot of those, they know their route. And when we go up there to the ether, we have a route.
And we know it because we've been there before.
We just know it intuitively. So, anyway, you're going to be cared for, but you have to have faith. Now, what we've learned from all these near-death experiences, where I taught the attendees about the different countries, the different religions, the people that had the near-death experiences that were Muslim and Asian and just all these different types of people had a religious, believed in the religion of their society. So they all had faith. And this Muslim, I also give them a 7-page handout on religions of the world, because not every therapist is a reverend and doesn't understand what this religion believes, right? So you have a Muslim lady who, when she had her near death, she saw Moses and Jesus and Muhammad's father. And I thought, wow, this woman is really phenomenal. She's seeing all these important religious figures, but her religion believes in those religious figures.
So if you didn't, then you might only see, I
Yes.
don't know, just
I don't know. Maybe you'd only see
one.
your dead relatives, because maybe you're not religious, so that's why you wouldn't have a
So
religious.
what do Native Americans see? Do you know that?
Native Americans, they have a they don't go through a tunnel, they go down a road,
Is
and
it a path like
they just say it's a road. So I haven't really, investigated how many roads, and so to see that, but they see their religious figures, whatever they believe their gods, and their loved ones. Everybody sees their loved ones and they're told it's going to be okay. That's the point. That's one of the biggest reasons that the APA said that this happens to people, because of what happened after, as a result of Raymond Moody's book in 1975. So now in 2023, finally getting some people that say, well, this has happened to enough people around the world that we know that they go somewhere and that they have these experiences.
Wow. It's so fascinating. And I realize that, we can't have concrete evidence, if you will, until such time as it happens to us.
Well, maybe though. What I'm saying is, I had that telepathic moment where I heard a voice. Now, that's not a normal thing.
No, and but and, okay, so I think you and I maybe have talked about this because when my 3.5 years before my husband died, he was in ICU and they told me he had an hour and a half to live. And
I
at
remember.
that point, I did hear a voice and it would not have been his voice. I don't know whether it was my guide or whether, just exactly who it was, but the voice was very clear in saying, put your right hand on the top of his head, put your left hand on his heart. And they went through me. I did not do the work. I think I'm attached to the 11th chakra, which is a healing chakra center, and I believe that divine energy literally came through all those chakras in through me because his oxygen level went from 78% to 98%, and they could take him to surgery. And as a result, he lived another 3.5 years. So the doctors told me at the time, they said, this is impossible. And I was like, well, obviously it happened. So it's
So
not impossible.
what we need to know is that before you start talking, I said this was not normal, right? For me to hear a voice. So paranormal means alongside of para. So that we have to realize that these paranormal experiences show us what an expanded person we really are.
Yes,
And
and
that's
that's
what I want
what
people to know. You're an expanded person here, and you're supposed to build on all of these things that happened to you so that when you do go over to the other side, you have a belief and a faith. And that's what I saw when I studied these people from different cultures, is they had a faith there was God. I do have a faith because I had a Holy Spirit experience. So when you have a breath come to you that's not yours and you feel crazy for a year and a half, you eventually find out there is a God, right? So once you know that, as Carl Jung said, he didn't believe in God, he knew God. Once you know that, then I think I will float easier and you will float easier than that person that dies quickly in a car accident.
Right. Because there's not, oh my goodness, what's next? Because we kind of know what's next.
Well, and I'm just waiting to see. So T.S. Eliot, like, we're waiting to see what's next. And it's supposed to be beautiful and the light is wonderful and there's only good up there and
Did
so
you ever see, well, maybe we'll finish with this little message to people because our show is over, but and you'll be back again in a few months. But there was a movie made a number of years ago from a book called The Shack. Did you ever see the
oh, the
movie?
check, yes,
Yeah. And so, you know, here he walks into this horrible looking shack, quite literally. And when he steps through the door to the opening outside, it is beautiful. He sees his daughter when he takes the trip with the spirits, but he sees his daughter playing and she's very happy and it's gorgeous and there's flowers and people laughing. And
Right.
of course, the way she died was quite horrendous, you know, in the book, but he sees that that isn't the way life is on the other side. And I think that's the beauty for all of us is to understand that what we have here. Maybe some people would refer to as a hell on earth, that we live our hell now,
Yes.
because after life, or after death rather, life is quite different.
Yes. And also spirits love more intensely. And when you have a clairvoyant experience like that, you feel that love in a more intense way also. So that he would have felt that child really happy.
Right. I think that's true. And actually, in this lifetime, as you become more in tune, let me use that word, with your vibrational frequencies, I think you also see life more intensely. You experience maybe the highs as well as the lows,
Yes.
but you have that understanding or that knowing that this is not all there is.
Right, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
No,
Can
that's true.
you tell people how to get hold of you? It'll be at the bottom of the synopsis on the podcast, but let people that are listening know how they can also reach out.
Yes, you can email me at Karen@KarenHarrick.com. And then you could go on my website, which is getting bigger and bigger, KarenEHarrick.com. And then there's some YouTube videos there, and you could also just kind of see what I'm about.
I have that link on the podcast this time so that they can go into YouTube as well.
Okay, that'd be great. And there's
Well,
going to be the Emma story is going to be on YouTube. I asked them to make a YouTube of it because I
okay.
thought so many people with animals have probably had something similar. Because you do have that telepathic relationship with them, you know.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I believe that you can quite literally look into a dog's eyes or a cat's eyes and you see their soul.
Yes.
Yeah, it's there. It's there. Thank you so much for being on the podcast. We'll see you again in about 3 months. And in the meantime, have a beautiful spring out there where you are.
I will, and you too. And I hope
Thank
your
you.
move goes well.
I do too. I am anticipating that it'll happen, like I said, sometime in June. But we'll see what my own guides have in store for me. So this is one of those times where having faith and trust is really important because I'm not in control of it. It's unfolding before me.
Right. Well,
Right.
good luck with it.
Thank you. All right, everybody, please go out there and make this your best life. Share the show with others who really do need to understand that the lifetime they're in is certainly not all that there is in life. And we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
Boomers Forever Young is really making a name for themselves as an exciting nutritional company with products that really work. People from all over the country are starting to take notice. Their whole person approach to health and wellness, combined with their unique array of powerful natural health products, are setting them apart from all the other companies in the nutrition industry. Their customers love the one-on-one free consultations and the results they experience. Sound a little too good to be true? Then go online to boomerboost.com today and sign up for a free consultation with a product specialist, or just give us a call at 1-800-861-4609. Again, that's boomerboost.com, or call 1-800-861-4609 to join the thousands already experiencing the benefits of Boomers Forever Young products.